Hello, welcome to the big fight. As patriotic Indians who love our country, I guess one of the big questions that's always there on the back of our minds is the country's reputation, especially abroad, going up or going down? What is causing that reputation to be embellished and to be enhanced? And what's causing it to decrease a little bit or to have blots put on it? And that's one of the subjects that we're going to be taking a look at, because in recent weeks and months, many things have happened that people could argue have been substantially enhancing India's image. Ease of doing business. Business has just gone up from 130 to 100. A better, easier place to do business. India rising, India shining. One of the fastest growing economies in the world. All of those are factors that, of course, continue to enhance India's reputation. And then you have the soft cultural factors, as all of those continue to roll around the world, again has a major impact. On the downside, if there are ever incidents of violence or tension and all of that happens, it tends to diminish India's reputation. Recently, on the tourism front, one of the areas which, of course, India should be one of the leaders in tourism in the world, if you actually think about it, given the amount of assets that we have out here. But there have been some questions around the Taj Mahal. There have been all of these bad, scary headlines around air pollution and is India a safe country to go to or not. Then, of course, attacks on certain foreigners, the Swiss couple, obviously, but even in a couple of other cases. You're having some countries saying it's not necessarily safe for single women to travel to India, which also causes a certain level of control of problems. And then, just when you thought all of that was being put to rest, India's reputation, which has been considerably enhanced by having so many better airports, now suddenly you're seeing all these big long queues, which is again causing some concern. So let me get all of these aspects to be discussed by our panel out here who've debated various aspects of this in the past, but let's now try and bring it all together and see what is it that we can do to ensure that we all get what we really should want, which is that India's reputation should keep rising and rising and rising and rising and not have any questions coming on it from any of these fronts. So great to have with us Mr. Balashankar, who's a member of the BJP Central Committee on Training and Committee on Publications. Great to have you with us. Ghanshyam Tiwari of the Samajwadi Party, who has been wondering a little bit and scratching his head about the entire controversy around the Taj and everything that's been happening with it. Geeta Bhatt is variously described as a Hindutva supporter and an RSS supporter, so I'll introduce you as both. Geeta, thank you so much for joining us. Aditya Mukherjee, our top historian, is going to help us try and put all of this into some sort of historical perspective. Karuna Nandi, Advocate Supreme Court, great to have you joining us. And Sunil Alag, independent business consultant, may have a lot to say on ease of doing business, among many other things. Just wanted to start off by asking you, when you're looking at headlines, it's a good way sometimes of judging how a country is doing. The sort of headlines that you're seeing about it in the foreign media and elsewhere, what are people saying about it? Do you think these have been good days or bad days in the last few months? And perhaps we should come back and do a regular test on this. This is one of the ways in which we can see how well the country is doing.
So, Vikram, the point is, ever since Narendra Modi came to power, there has been a lot of talk about doomsday for India. But the fact is that on every front, be it on investment, be it on tourism front, be it on ease of doing business, on every front, India is shining. And Narendra Modi, India has got the best prime minister we ever had. And in the world,
it's dangerous to say India is shining just before an election coming, I should warn you. India tried that in 2004 and we knew what happened after that.
Let me complete. What I'm saying is, we are always looking at the fault lines.
Yeah.
We have been talking about, all kind of intolerance, all kind of, women unsafe in India. But all these things are there all over the world. In any country you take, these things are there as so peripheral issues. But we are bringing the peripheral to the mainstream and we are ignoring the mainstream. What is happening? India's image is being talked down by a section of people, a section of the media, and a group of politicians, and deliberately it is being done. This is unfair. We look at economy. India is the fastest growing economy.
You? Being deliberately
talked down. It is an investment
down.
Destination.
No, so what constitutes talking down India's reputation? If, for example, sections of the media or anybody says, hey, air pollution is bad and it should be fixed, or that it's shocking that there are attacks that have happened on a couple of tourists somewhere, isn't that legitimate reporting? You should report the good and report the bad.
No, but when you have an 8-column headline saying that we are in a gas chamber, that is talking down India. Yes, air pollution is there. We are doing everything to better it. But that is not brought by the government or the Narendra Modi government. No, so it is there. We all have to work for it.
So hang on.
As a country, I think, we have to fight for the image of the country, and we have to highlight that is positive about India.
Okay. So, point taken, not everything negative that happens is necessarily the fault of the central government. Point well taken. You know, you can say, yes, we are trying to fix it. Okay, if there are traffic jams happening somewhere, you can blame the government, but you can say, well, it's a result of so-and-so factors and we are trying to fix it. Same is true with air pollution. Same is true on attacks on women. It's not as if attacks on women have only happened right now under the Narendra Modi government. They've been happening for a long period of time. I'm actually trying to get your take on the second part of what he said, that we shouldn't be talking about these so much because it brings down the image of India. Would you agree with him?
Well, I'll make 3 points on that. One is that every one of us, this is a young room, every one of us wants India to do well. India doing well boosts our morale, boosts our sense of what we can contribute to the society. So we are on the same page on that. But it is important then when BJP talks about Modi shining and does not want to discuss that, you know, what is not working when we want to build a better India for tomorrow. It was just said that it happens in every country that, you know, women get attacked. Just today, the gender index came where India slipped 21 points. On hunger index, we slipped 6 points. On press freedom index, we slipped 3 points. So India cannot shine when there is no equality. India cannot shine when the press is not free. India cannot shine if we do not know how would we get the jobs to contribute to the society. India cannot shine if the ruling party believes in a jingoism of the leader of the day. The leader of the day, every one of you, irrespective of your political lines, believed when Modi ji said, "Achhe din aayenge," somewhere deep within you wanted "Achhe din aayenge." Why does BJP not talk about "Achhe din" now? And why does it question that, you know?
No, he's saying "Achhe din aaye" here. He's saying he's the best prime minister that you've ever had, and this is and India is shining. So he is saying that "Achhe din aaye."
Yes. So look at the certificates he wants. He wants a World Bank to say "Achhe din" is here. He doesn't want the youth, the poor whose jobs were lost. Doesn't want the farmer to say "Achhe din" is here. You did not go to World Bank to seek votes. Let's be very clear. You went to
But if the World Bank is saying that, so let me ask actually Sunil Alag this. Sunil, if the World Bank says that the ease of doing business has improved 30 points, Ghanshyam is saying that's not necessarily the criteria of judging whether India is shining or not. Should it be the criteria? Is it a major event that the ease of doing business has improved 30 points?
Look, I mean, I don't want to get into this BJP versus Samajwadi and all. They're all talking about whether Modi is good or bad. That's not the question that should be debated today. The question is India on the right path? Is India improving? Yes, it is. Undeniably. There's no question in anybody's mind. Is there still stuff to do? Of course there is. But look, abroad, when I've just come back from Sweden and I was in the United States just a couple of weeks ago, everywhere, right down from cab drivers to industrialists to chambers of commerce, they all are talking about India, saying, wow, what a great country, everything is going well. Internally, we are bringing ourselves down by constantly, as someone raised earlier, constantly putting us down. The narrative abroad, for instance, when you have, like in New York, when you had that guy plowing this ISIS person who killed a lot of people, which is very, very sad. Right. The question is not to say that it's happening all over the United States. The immediate response of the media is to say, yes, it's happening. This is the action we are taking.
You've spent a lot of time in the US and in Sweden and everywhere else. When you're seeing the headlines about India, yes, the talk about the economy and the potential of the economy and the fact that all of that is happening, that's great. It's not that you aren't also reading other sort of headlines like the environmental issues, the air pollution issues, the attacks on women issues, the, you know, queues on immigration, all of those also become factors. So I think the point that I'm trying to ask is, isn't it the correct thing to talk about both to enhance the positives and try and fix the negatives? Isn't that what we should try and do?
I agree with you and I agree with everybody else. There's a long way to go on a number of things. But to talk about it, but to only talk about it in a negative way is what I'm raising right now. I've gone through long queues in JFK, even in Heathrow. But what they've done over
the last couple of years, the worst airports in the world. Delhi Airport actually had become one of the best airports in the world.
I agree with you. Can I just say, if for 11 months in the year you're the best airport in the world, and for 2 weeks you're the worst, What do you rate the airport as? It still remains the best. That's the point I'm making. I'm not saying that we must not improve. Was the queues like this in June? Was it like this in July? Was it like this in August? It wasn't.
No.
When they rate a country, all I'm saying abroad, they don't take 1 or 2 weeks. We tend to extrapolate that 1 or 2 weeks into what the country is forever. Okay. That's the issue that I'm making. Of course, we've got to improve on it. There's a number of things happening.
Okay. Aditya, there are a number of things doubting, nobody is doubting. He's saying, don't extrapolate from a couple of bad examples to, you know, paint a negative picture all around the country. Some people actually have extended that to say, if you're saying anything critical, even if it's justifiably critical, it's almost an anti-national thing to do, which in a sense is contrary to what you should be doing in a democracy, where you should be, it's only by shining a light on all the problems that there are that you can actually fix them.
Since you started with India's image abroad, you know, the image is not made since yesterday or since Narendra Modi came to power. The image has a long-term background. One, of course, from the ancient and medieval past, the Taj is a great example of the image. The great architecture, the great mathematicians, the Varahmihiras, that's one thing. The other was post-independent India being successfully, as you said, being able to build an inclusive, multicultural, multi-religious democracy. The only example in the world at that time. You know, so this was something we were very proud of. And since 1991, so these have all happened a long time ago. Since 1991, India also acquired the image of its capacity to become an economic powerhouse. So this is the long-term image we have. Now, if we damage any of these, like if we do things by just whim, you decide on demonetization against all advice. It damages the economy. It is damaging this long-term influence. Or let's say if you allow lynching of people, killing of opposition, controlling the press, anybody who opposes you, call them anti-national. You equate government to the nation. If anybody is anti-government, you say you are Deshdrohi. Now, this is fascism. This is exactly how Mussolini described what is anti-national. He said anybody who's anti-state is anti-national. No, these are ruining our images.
Okay,
so what ruins our image, for example, is if somebody says that the Taj, for example, was built, was a Shiva temple and was a Hindu townhouse or something
like that. Debate and discussion about that.
No, but I'm just saying that then we go back to the image of Indians being snake charmers and we imagine everything. We say that Christianity was actually Krishna Niti. The same guy who questioned the Taj also said Christianity was Krishna Niti and the Vatican was Vatika. You see? So, I mean, you know, of course, this is PNO, Pushottam Nagesh Oak. Yeah. This is what he said. You know, we as students used to read this and we thought this was the lunatic fringe. But this lunatic fringe is now occupying main space. And you have to now debate whether the Taj was built by Shahjahan and who killed whom.
The Vatican was actually the Vatica.
Yeah, the Vatican was Vatican. Christianity was Krishna.
Rome ki Vatica. Okay, fine. That's interesting.
And the Kaaba was, of course, a Shivling.
Okay, I really haven't heard some of these stories, but they're interesting.
These are not stories. These are in textbooks published by the RSS.
Geeta, I mean, first of all, so he says that some of the stuff which was happening is actually... A, he said that the lunatic fringe is moving to the center stage. And B, if I extrapolate what he says, that some of what used to be considered really good and great about India all this time, some questions are being asked about that, like the Taj, for example, as he said, or the fact that India is the only country in the world of its size which is being able to grow and prosper with full unity in diversity and taking everyone else along. And there's a questioning of that, questioning of some of the freedoms. Would you agree with him that this has started to happen?
See, India is the only single country which has been endowed with, you know, the kind of rich diversity in culture, in geography, I think this is one point which all of us agree. As far as criticism is concerned, I think any kind of criticism which is constructive in nature, it is always welcome. And we are in a democracy, yes, criticism, it is welcome. But the point is that in what way, whether the criticism is constructive or destructive in nature. As you just said, that whether we want that India is shining or not. In this, I would like to add what in terms of this recent ease of doing business report, which has just come, which you just mentioned, that after, I think it was in 2002 that World Bank started with ease of doing business project.
Yeah.
And since 2003, India has adopted 37 reforms. And what is important to note is that out of these 37 reforms, 50% of the reforms have been implemented in the last 4 years. So what actually it shows is that there is a political will which is trying to introduce with structural reforms, and that is what is getting reflected. I mean, we cannot just ignore
I actually think there is very little disagreement on that positive. And so I'm just trying to understand what's constructive and what's destructive, because you're 100% correct in saying that if good things are happening, if reforms are taking place and ease of doing business is getting better, you should be talking about it, you should be reflecting that, you should be saying, isn't this good? And that should be held up as a great example of the direction that which we should go. I don't think there's any question in that. I'm trying to understand when you're saying something is destructive. So if, for example, you're having people or critics saying, we've got to make sure that air pollution levels go down, we've got to make sure that the traffic jams are ended, we've got to make sure that no foreign tourist ever comes to the country and is attacked, their safety has to be done, we have to ensure that the safety of women is taken care of. If you're talking about some of these issues and talking about them and saying these problems must be fixed, is that constructive or destructive?
For example, when you're talking about pollution, you see, we all understand this, that pollution, it is a very macro issue. It is not just a micro issue. So when we are talking about pollution, we have to talk about pollution all 365 days. We can't be selective in trying to decide controlling, curbing pollution just for a select days. That is the idea.
But Geeta, if there is pollution between the months of October and February, it's a 4-month period, I agree with you. Maybe you should not say that pollution is only linked to Diwali, for example. Yeah, that's a mistake, because it's not. Yeah. It's not only linked to Diwali. Diwali is just one of the factors.
Again, you just
but
sold.
October to February, we know this from historical data, is a period when pollution spikes. It's for weather and other related factors. So obviously, you talk about in these 4 months. Problems to do with the monsoons are in the months of June, July, and August. You have to worry about it there.
I don't think that there is any kind of report or study that has still been conducted by CPCB or by Ministry of Environment and Forest, which has come specifically related to it. But from IIT Kanpur, there was a report which was submitted to Delhi government. And that report very categorically says that the highest pollution levels, air quality index, it falls down because of the road dust, 56% pollution actually comes. So there are many other issues.
I don't want to convert it into
pollution. Everything into account. You see,
I agree with you, but I'm saying you can't.
Selective,
Let me just get you in on this now. Look, as loyal patriotic Indians, we obviously want the reputation of India to be higher and to keep going up. Now, there are certain things which will happen, which will enhance the image of India, ease of doing business, whatever reforms and all are happening, and some will go down. Is it in any way wrong or treasonable or anti-national to be drawing attention to problems that therefore need to be fixed?
As a patriotic Indian, what I believe in is the welfare of our citizens, not an imaginary idea of India that the BJP and this present government has been seeking to advertise with our taxpayers' money. This government has been in campaign mode since it arrived. This is the problem. And since it has arrived, it has been putting up ads of Mr. Modi saying, thank you, Mr. Modi, from the Ministry of Petroleum. Who's paying for it? When a message is sent on Facebook between two private individuals saying something about Mr. Modi, quite ultra vires of the law, a criminal offense on them is slapped. I was on a panel where very, very senior people were standing and said that, we opposed Section 66A in court. I was one of the 5 or 6 counsel who argued that matter, and the Supreme Court was pleased to agree with us and strike it down. When these people were in opposition, they opposed it, right? But they fought tooth and nail to keep it on the statute books. There is a brutal, make no mistake, quashing of free speech in this country. Why is it important though? The reason that it's essential to democracy, the reason that our IPC is so bad on free speech, is because back in 1860, we had a colonial government that did not care about it. The only thing that they were interested in is keeping various groups happy inter se each other. However, there is no way a government is going to know whether a farmer is starving, whether a farmer is committing suicide, whether people are, whether women are being raped. If there is a way in which you are going to quash free speech in this brutal manner all over the country.
We're now taking this discussion entirely different direction, but it's worth talking about. She says the government is perennially in campaign mode at taxpayers' expense. I mean, you heard what she said. Is that correct? Is that something right to do? And is therefore an image being sought to be projected that everything is shining, even in areas where it's not?
See, the point is when a government is there and it's doing good business, it has to advertise. It has to tell the people that we are doing something for you. There is nothing wrong in advertising or letting people know about what good things are happening. And I'm not going to talk about all the welfare schemes that we have introduced, how every section of the society has been taken care of. But I'm taking only one thing. People who supported emergency, people who supported censorship, they are the people today talking about lack of freedom.
No, I am 100% against the emergency. This is a creeping emergency.
And she was probably not born actually when the emergency
happened. Also, so I was born that year and I have opposed it since I became conscious.
I am talking about the ideologies and that supported emergencies.
In her defense, if she was born that year, very tough for her to... maybe she was opposing the emergency.
I was born opposing the emergency, you can say.
But I am talking about the situation where, you know, political opponents are being killed, where they are being killed. Maximum number of political opponents are being killed in Kerala under the CPM. And we are agitating
CPM
all over the country against that.
CPM people are also being killed. You all are completely ignoring that. I find this Kannur situation completely
under Narendra Modi,
everyone is being killed. RSS and CPM. It's an inter-party war.
Can I just add, the
social harmony in the country has been the best in the last 4 years. And you compare it with the relative...
Social harmony is the best it's ever been in the last 4 years.
The lynchings in the last 3 years have risen by 97%. That is one single example.
Party and under the BJP government, the social harmony in the country is very...
Let's speak with some good facts, right? If the government was serious about projecting a good image of India, think about it. Any of you in public office, the day a Swiss couple was attacked, it would have sent a message that, look, there's some controversy in India regarding Taj Mahal and tourists are getting attacked. The next day, the government PR machinery should have jumped into action and started talking about Taj Mahal, how it is going
to be. The minister went there, he intervened, he did something about it.
I'll just read two headlines that read, you know, The Guardian said, hardline Hindu nationalist campaign against Taj Mahal. The Swiss Express said, L Express, the Taj Mahal is the last object of Hindu extremist vindictiveness. You take any foreign press, I can quote French press, I can quote Swiss press, British press. Everyone was saying that how Hindu hardliners are attacking Taj Mahal. As a result, Indian image is suffering. But when you direct the entire image of India about image of Prime Minister Modi, you will become myopic and as a result, you will forget India and boost Modi. No, that is what
actually, sir, in 2014, in Agra, you know, the surrounding area, a German woman, she was attacked. In 2014, whose government was there in Uttar Pradesh? In 2007, there were two Japanese who were gang raped in Agra, right there in Agra. You can please check it up on Google. Whose government was there at that time? So let us not, we have to,
see,
we should talk in terms of the societal changes
you are
that have
point.
Taken place.
The point is
the law
India's
order
image,
situation
not law
which
and order,
is there.
Right?
That needs to be addressed rather than pointing fingers towards what party. I mean, you can just dig up into the political history of the country and see so many examples. When you talk about
narrative.
The press, freedom of press, you know, freedom of press is very important. After all, it is the fourth pillar of our democracy. But the point is that Safdar Hazmi also died. He died point blank. Someone killed him. No one talks about Safdar Hazmi here. Right? No one talks about Bioranjan. When Bioranjan died, who was in the government in Bihar?
Let's try and address them as a law and order issue. Fine. So let's try and establish some basic ground rules. I'm glad you said what you've just said and what he said on the emergency and on the killing of Safdar Hashmi. Let's try and establish some basic principles. Is it something that we can all agree on? That one of the bedrocks on which India as a nation stands, one of the things that makes this country great, one of the reasons why we have had such a high prestige over the last 40, 50 years is that exact freedom, the ability to grow, the fact that we are developing, yet with free speech, free press, freedom to express positives and negatives, the freedom to stand somewhere out in a garden and attack the government, should you want to do it. It's a great, great asset to have, and in India we've always had it. Does everyone on this panel, first of all, agree that that is something which is essential that we must keep?
No, I think it's the bedrock. There's no question of trying to preserve it. It's there for centuries and it will continue as far as I'm concerned. You know, the very fact that we are having this debate shows that we have a freedom of press. Otherwise, Can you imagine after a show like this, half of you would be arrested as soon as you left NDTV? No, so let's try knows? And let's not
hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on.
That's don't, the only point I've been trying there. To make. Don't. Now hold it. What is destructive is that you say, all right, 1.35 billion, one or two people get up and say that, look, the Taj Mahal is not part of India or not done by so-and-so or X. Here comes the Prime Minister. Here comes half the cabinet of UP. And they all say, wrong. It's a mistake. It's all over. Nobody highlights that. We continue singing the tune of that one person who raised it rather than saying, look, this is the positive thing that's happened. And no matter what anybody says, I think we've got to raise every single issue in India. Otherwise, the government will not do anything about it. We must shine on the problems. But let's get constructive in how we report it rather than getting destructive okay. about it.
So
that's the only point I'm making. We must continue to do it.
Okay,
Ghanshyam. And then you debate it. Is there any country in the world that has raised do not travel to India because of pollution as yet? We continue to raise the massive issue. Then, that's destructive.
Actually,
so the constructive
country
part
may
is,
or
yes,
may not,
there's an
a country
issue.
May or may not
this
have done
what
it, but
we
it is a
do
factor.
About it and let's move on with it.
Let's not negate the importance of these factors, because I can tell you from personal experience, a number of people.
I'm agreeing.
Try calling your own friends and family and saying, why don't you come and have a holiday in Delhi? They'll say,
every
you're out of your mind.
Thing.
Try it. I defy you to do it. Call any of your friends and family and ask them to come into Delhi.
It's because of the narrative, really. I travel to Delhi every week. No, no, but I
live here.
Delhi every week. It hasn't stopped me from coming to Delhi.
At the cost of our lives, we all live here. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't talk about these issues, because that's the only way people solve it.
Vikram.
Okay, Ghanshyam.
For 3 years, we've seen that supporters of BJP, RSS, supporters of Mr. Modi have become so fanatic that they shout down anyone, and no one in the government rises up and asks the question. We've seen Prime Minister following people who were disparaging in their commentary on Gauri Lankesh, a murdered brave journalist. So when people are not shouted down for becoming trolls on social media, we are teaching the exact opposite to our new generation, that it is okay to become a mob on social media. That mentality is now transforming on the street.
Is there a mob mentality which is increasingly building up?
The question is that as you have talked about the freedom of expression should be for each and every person.
100%
right?
Correct.
I mean, let's not be selective about it. For example, like this, very recently, there is a journalist called Sanjay Mishra who was killed point blank in Uttar Pradesh in Ghazipur. Has there been any not in my name for him? No. No one has even talked about him in any of the TV shows, right? Just because why he has an RSS affiliation. So these kind of selectivity which comes into play, you know, whether it is in media, in social media, whether it is in print media, whether it is in electronic media, that is something which is questionable.
Okay, Aditya.
See, as Karuna said, I totally agree that the heart of democracy is the freedom of speech. And as we said in the very beginning, the reason why India has any image abroad is primarily because it is a successful democracy in an extremely difficult situation. And if by freedom of speech, as it was defined, in fact, in our national movement, the central issue that was taken up was freedom of speech. They said, this is why we are opposing the British, and that we would give our lives for the freedom of speech. From Tilak, Gandhi, Nehru, they made it the center. Freedom of speech, Gandhi says, is not that you say what I like to hear. That is, you say constructive things. If you say something destructive, then it's not freedom of speech, then you're distorting the press, then you're... Freedom of speech is the right, and this is what the Supreme Court has also said, is the right to say what you wish against the government, against the state, even when it is in war. That is freedom of speech. We must protect the right of the opposition.
But is it anti-national to push it too far?
It is not.
What if
it is anti-national.
What if you're criticizing for the sake of criticizing?
Look, after putting 25,000 RSS workers in jail, Patel did it, by the way, now who they make into a hero, they were released. Because the democratic India believe that is not how you oppose an opposition.
So then that
view.
Is the wrong thing to do. I mean, what her point is correct. It's wrong in both cases.
It is.
If you're banning the RSS and putting them into jail,
it was banned
for their
at the time.
Wrong
it
also.
Was banned because they were associated with the murder of the Mahatma. The father of the nation is killed. What else do you expect?
But in the
and they were celebrating.
There
they were distributing sweets when the Mahatma was killed. The situation was such that they were banned. But very soon they were released on this understanding that you do not put people who have the opposite point of view behind bars. You argue with them, you discuss with them. Now, what is tending to happen is now is either put them behind bars, and it is happening to my university, to my students. A person like Kanhaiya, one of the outstanding students, is called a Deshdrohi, taken to court, beaten up in court premises by the police.
He's going to get a ticket in the coming elections.
So, Should he not?
But because
you believe in democracy,
and
you don't want
to get the ticket. You are portraying a very sorry picture for him. So I am saying that I am just trying to
Can I ask, is this something that you are saying, something these are doctored video tapes that you have seen.
He never said the comments that he was accused of having said. This is spreading of lies.
But you have the right to do it. I believe you have the right to spread lies.
Nothing against her personally. In fact, she's not even allowed to join the RSS because she's a woman. Let her say that.
However, that is a very wrong statement.
The RSS does not allow women in their ranks.
People have no idea about the
arrives and women are forced to wash his feet. Wash his feet.
Okay.
I think
so. This lady is not allowed to join the RSS.
It is an absolutely wrong statement.
She is very cogently supporting
and,
it is an absolutely wrong statement.
The problem is that people do not know much about the social dimensions of this country while they are sitting in their AC offices in New Delhi.
Now, can I also complain? See, intolerance, what you are accusing me now, you are doing exactly the same thing.
So you were talking of intolerance, exactly the same thing you are doing. So all I'm trying to say is that people are not much aware about the social dimensions. See,
but you are Rashtra Seva Samiti, you are more aware of the social dimensions than me when I represent large movements of people's ideology. Karuna, come back to you.
This is what happens in university. Okay, nonsense. That's okay, fine. Okay. People can decide. People are deciding who is speaking nonsense.
Karuna, I promise you I'll come to you next. Let her finish what she's saying.
Okay. These kind of derogatory language, maybe it is allowed in this kind of show. It's okay. I will take it with grace. But I will now continue. Rashtriya Sevika Samiti has been into existence since 1936, which has got the same ideology. And women with of the same ideology have been working towards nationalistic issues. So it is not there. There are two individual organizations which have the same goal. We are working. I mean, why this kind of an interference, which why people are trying to say that, you know, yes, why women are not there in RSS? Because they are of the same ideology. And it's not that they came into existence yesterday. They've been working for 80, 90 years now.
Okay.
And they have a lot of social presence.
Karna, hang on. Now, the point that was being made by Sunil is that if you actually had so much intolerance to criticism, then why would shows like this be allowed?
I think Sunilji has a set problem. Basically, just because if you have, this is the set of all speech, if so much speech is being suppressed and so much speech is being allowed, does not mean that there is freedom of expression. Let's be absolutely clear about that. Secondly, if you look at the laws, if you look at people, even in the vicinity of a cow, Pehlu Khan, if you look at people eating beef and exercising a or people not eating beef but alleged to have eaten beef just because they're Muslim, even though their son is in the Air Force. If you look at various people exercising normal freedom of expression, then, and the attack on that, the systemic attack on that is the reason that India has fallen dramatically in the press index. Let me also address, since it has been put to me, what Geeta ji was saying. What she was saying is whenever somebody thinks of the RSS, who thinks of the Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh? I do. That's what it is, right? Who knew about the Rashtriya Swayamsevika Sangh, that it even existed?
Okay, hang on.
Does anyone know?
Okay.
No. So that's
I think we should come back and have a separate discussion on this.
I'm finishing, ma'am. You know, I'll let you speak now. No, don't correct me. Let me speak. You can speak later.
Okay, you don't if want I may to know the correct meaning.
The point is that the government is using our resources, is using the control they have over certain sections of the media to brainwash a large number of our voters, of our citizens, in a manner which is incorrect. They are suppressing freedom of speech by criminally prosecuting people. They are using advertising for the party's benefit and not for the country's benefit. So the ire that I have, to be fair, is not against this lady. She's not even part of the RSS. It's about this takeover of speech.
In the interest of fairness,
it
is certainly worth pointing out that most governments misuse taxpayer money for their personal benefits.
Absolutely.
If you consider it,
Not on the scale of this.
Whatever. I mean, you can argue about scales, but it is not a first time that it's ever happened that you're having
political party leaders or others being built up at taxpayer expense. That does happen.
Absolutely.
Now, what I want to come to, just turn to you, Mr. Balashankar, and point it to you is, one of the important things that arises from all of this is, of course, there is a danger in doing too much of this, because India is still a democracy, and while people have a right to go out and vote, you can say, let's not have too much criticism, let's not have too much debate, let's not only have the good things, let's have ads and banners everywhere saying that India is doing so well and India is shining. But there's a trap in that. The trap in that is, A, when people begin to see ads saying India is shining and achhe din aa gaye hain and it's not happening in their own life, they can tend to get angry and they can tend to vote against the government. That's what happened in 2004. And the second danger in that is that the media and others who are pointing to the negatives, it's a safety valve. It gives the government a chance to do something about it. It gives you a chance to fix it. If you're seeing stories about potholes in a particular area, you can go and fix the potholes.
Exactly.
But if no one ever reports about that, because you don't want to report something negative, those potholes will eventually kill somebody or smash a car or something like that. Two reasons why it is good to have both the positives and the negatives constantly being talked about. Would you agree with that, by the way, what I just said?
I entirely agree with you. See, we want criticism and we are all for freedom of expression. And we are lucky to have a prime minister who fought emergency from underground. And half the cabinet consists of people who fought emergency and who fought for democracy. And as far as we are concerned, this is a prime minister, you know, who went to the parliament and bowed before it and said that I will protect this parliament, which is the temple of democracy. And as far as we are concerned, for us, democracy is the biggest achievement of this country, and this is the richest heritage of our country. And we protect it, and we know that we have to do it. And as far as we are concerned, again, it is a matter of commitment and faith for us. I belong to an organization which has been on the receiving end of our political intolerance that we are seeing even now. See, we have been banned repeatedly. Why? Because we did not ban any organization.
Only once.
See, I am talking about the kind of intolerance that is existing even today, and it has existed for the last 65 years.
Okay, fine. Kachap, let me just get you in, then I want to go across to Sunil Alakka for one last comment.
The India we want to build must have a social purpose and an economic purpose. The social purpose will arise when we know that, you know, where is India failing with respect to gender, with respect to malnutrition, with respect to freedom of speech, with respect to key issues that make us who we are. And the economic purpose is taking the positive sentiment that arises from a ease of doing business kind of report. But it's important when you look at those reports, you have to go to look at the paradoxes. The report says that it is easier in India to shut a business than open a business. Is that the kind of thing that we should be celebrating? We are the only country which is celebrating a rank 100 on anything. So let's think about a rank 1, a rank 2, and that is what we have to build. So I think a positive sentiment is important.
To celebrate it if you've gone from 130 to 100. I'm not saying 100 is where you should be, but it shows that there's movement in the right direction. There are other indices where we're moving in another direction, like the hunger index or the freedom index or other, which is a cause for concern.
No, I agree.
But
I
think this particular index is at least moving in the right
direction. I agree, and I welcome it. It sends a positive signal to the world. But when the entire Union cabinet starts celebrating it and is not engaging in a discourse on what happened on the hunger index, what happened on the gender index, freedom of press. We had a Diwali Milan for journalists, but we never discussed the freedom of press or the freedom of press index. So it's important that political leaders...
As somebody sitting and hearing this entire debate, the interesting thing which is coming out is that some people seem to be saying we should only be talking about the positives, and some people saying you should only be talking about the negatives. And if you're talking about a positive, then you're saying, why didn't you talk about the negatives?
No, I'm not saying that. I don't believe in this selective outrage or subjective outrage. I'm just saying that put the facts without and cut down the rhetoric. When the BJP speaks about, every third statement is an endorsement of the Prime Minister, how he is the greatest magical leader of the world, who could not, no one says that who was the economist behind demonetization. How can we have such a large policy where we don't know which institution promoted that policy? If you ask BJP, if I ask you, tell me two economists that promoted demonetization, which were the institutions who were brought into play? We don't know. If our institutions fail, we cannot become a great nation.
All right, great. Let me just try and get some of the audience in to see what they actually think of all of this. Right, yeah, your view.
As Karuna said, that at BJP government put some hoardings to publicize that Modi government is doing very good. There is some things that government need to promote about themselves. And so we cannot point them that why they are doing this. As like if we are going to party and government is not asking why we are going to party. So we are not supposed to do do and point out those things.
You're saying there's nothing wrong with the government highlighting the achievements that it's been doing.
Yeah, achievements are there, good things. They are promoting that. Then why should we not take it as a good point?
Okay, fine. Let me get somebody else in. Yeah.
Highlighting the work, they are highlighting Modi. They're only highlighting Modi instead of highlighting the work. Let's talk about the tourism. Whatever we...
You're a poster boy, na? You need to highlight your PM.
But then...
In a global platform, whom you will, promote?
Highlight the nation.
You highlight the nation. No. You have to highlight the PM because he's a leader.
That's the whole point. Highlight the nation.
That's why Taj Mahal is leader of your tourism industry. Now we are keeping it aside because we need other monuments to be highlighted.
You don't.
So that's why the only thing.
By shouting it down, by calling it a blot.
Why does Congress government highlight Modi?
No, there. Then why Taj Mahal is there?
Okay.
We need other things also except Modi. We are expecting for more. I'm not talking about Sonia Gandhi. I'm talking about more leaders in BJP. The work BJP.
It's a PM.
Okay. Hang on.
So you accept point. Indira is India, India is Indira? Would that be okay with you if a different party was in power?
Hang on. Karuna.
That's your time.
But hang on. Karuna.
Actually, I'm probably younger than you.
Karuna, hang on. His point is that, about this thing about projecting Modi's face, as we correctly say that the Taj is one of the symbols of India, and which is what led to this entire ruckus when somebody was saying, why are we giving the Taj any importance? It led to weeks of ruckus. He's saying similarly, the Prime Minister is the symbol in that sense of the government, and therefore his face should be there constantly. What's wrong with that?
Look, we had a period, and it was a dark period in many ways, where the Congress had the same philosophy. They said, Indira is India, India is Indira. This was a slogan that was going around. This country has for a long time, and I also sort of was really warming to the idea before, when I was in my teens, of a strong leader. A strong leader, whether it's a woman or a man, whether it's Indira, whether it's Modi, here with a big chest, coming and rescuing the nation. So this is an idea that's very much being promoted. What we have seen, unfortunately, and there was somebody else on the panel raised this issue, is that while we may have gone up 30 points, and it's so lovely to have good news after so long, on the ease of business, doing business index, it's wonderful to have that news. However, in terms of people's real lives, you had battered women who had saved money, and somehow saved money and were waiting to leave, their terrible situations. And that money suddenly was worth nothing. There were poor farmers who didn't have bank accounts. There was demonetization. You have GST, like small businesses going out of business. Okay. You have people not getting jobs. And so in this situation, I think, we are a poor country. We are a young country. We are a democratic tinderbox at this point. We cannot afford to have positive feel-good advertising paid for by us, taking over the actual situation of the country is my only point.
Sunil, let me get a final thought from you, because it's not entirely unusual, Sunil, if you're looking at it from a global point of view. This sort of a debate about, we see it in America. Donald Trump constantly saying, look at the fake news media. All they're doing is spreading gloom and disaster, whereas actually we're doing very well, and America's in a fantastic space, and America's becoming great, and there's only doom and gloom stories out there put out by the fake news media. So this question of how much of, some would argue you should be showing on both the positive and the negative, show them equally. But the debate of how much should there be is something which is not just here, it's happening abroad also.
I agree with the fact that, let me say it in no uncertain terms, we got to have freedom of every possible way in India. In fact, I speak against cow vigilantism and everything else on television also. But somebody asked, why is Modi's face there? Obama's face was on everything when he was president. He is your prime minister, whether you like it or not. So his face is going to come up. Let me answer that. Secondly, to all the time talk about doom is like, is supposing your boy comes first in class, at least on that day, the family celebrates. You don't go around and say, what about your grandmother who's ill? What about your father who's got one lame leg or whatever? That day, the whole family celebrates. In India, what is depressing is that even on a day when we move from 130 to 100, you have everybody talking about, what about the hunger index? Of course, they are all important. There is no way that any man in the world or any government in the world can solve all the problems of India in a matter of two and a half years. But when we do something well, celebrate it. You are an Indian. Do not tell the world, oh my God, you know, this is rubbish, but we've got lots of other problems. That's the only point that I'm raising. We have to raise our problems. The government must attend to it. As even the vice president said, the government will not have a job if you don't give jobs. I fully agree with that.
Okay.
Look, but at the same time, when there's a moment of celebration, don't pull yourself down. Raise yourself so that you're able to deal with the problems. For me, that's the only issue.
Okay. Be Indian. So we heard you loud and clear.
When you are selling a narrative outside in the world, be very positive. That's it.
Be positive and selling a narrative around the world. Don't only keep talking about the bad news when there's time to have good news. Your final thoughts on this as we end the show.
Short 3 points. Ease of doing business, World Bank rating going up is very good news. But business should also improve. If investments are not happening, banks are not able to release credit, small businesses closing down. So let's not just celebrate just because World Bank has given you a rating. That's number one. Number two, if we want our image to remain as a democracy, the heart of democracy, as I said, freedom of speech, which includes the argumentative Indian, lot of arguments, no problem with that. But the heart of democracy is also secularism. There is no democracy without secularism. And if you have a regime which says we have established a Hindu Rashtra, that we are a Hindu nation, then where is secularism?
The government's not exactly saying that right now. Let's be fair.
Ministers of this government have said that India is a Hindu Rashtra, right? And the RSS believes in the Hindu Rashtra. In a multi-religious country, I'll be so happy if the panel here, they say that they don't believe in Hindu Rashtra.
No, English panel, they will say that.
That would be a great achievement. Huh? Okay. That is the... If you promote such an idea, you are breaking down the idea of secularism, which means democracy. Democracy is gone in a multi-religious country the moment you announce that you are a Hindu nation.
But no, it's not that the Prime Minister has done it or the Cabinet has said it, so we shouldn't say, you know...
Cabinet ministers have said it. Sushma Swaraj has said it. To give you an example, yes?
No.
Okay.
Who hasn't said it? I mean, which RSS leader hasn't said that
we have to do it? Our slogan is Sabke Saath, Sabka Vikas.
Hindu Rashtra is the central idea of the RSS.
Sorry, you're saying?
Our slogan is Sabke Saath, Sabka Vikas. How can we talk about Hindu Rashtra?
Sir, are you aiming for a Hindu Rashtra or not? Are you aiming for a Hindu Rashtra?
See, India is...
No, yes or no, sir?
India is a Hindu Rashtra.
India is a Hindu Rashtra. There you are.
The others are there just by
chance. No, it's really
not knowledge. Let's not... I think it's a separate debate which we'll call you all back for and have on whether India should be a Hindu Rashtra or not.
It is central to democracy. That's why I brought this up.
You can't
keep saying we are a democracy, we are a democracy.
It is a way of life.
Don't quote the Supreme Court out of context to serve the RSS.
I'm trying to end the show and we start debating whether India is or should be a Hindu Rashtra. We'll be here for the rest of the evening, so we'll come and discuss that later. Another big fight, I promise I'll call you all back. Yeah, ma'am. Final thoughts from you.
A final thought are that as some other panelists have been commenting, I think we are in a democracy, and in a democracy, ultimately, it is the electorate which decides, you know, whether the policies that have been formed or the way the nation is marching forward, whether it is in the right direction or not. So, as one of the panelists was talking about demonetization, I think the electorate, whether they felt right about it or wrong, was very much shown in the month of March in 2017. That is already there. As far as some people are talking about the intolerance in terms of cow vigilante, nobody is talking about Nandini, how she was attacked in Bangalore, how 100 people they just charged and barged her, broke her bones, and it is not the only single case which has been there for the last, in the last 3 years, 20 such cases have been reported, but no one wants to talk about that. So, all I'm saying is that, yes, there should be, we are a democracy, yes, criticism should be there, but let us not be selective about it.
Don't have selective criticism. And her point about some of these things, like we're about to now come and now start celebrating the, you know, anniversary of demonetization, she says, in a sense, in a democracy, it's the voter who decides and the voters voted in favor. Would you agree with that assessment?
Well, we are a country where illiteracy, malnutrition are supreme problems, and when you subject voter to hype, they can get carried away. We wanted to build a Uttar Pradesh of metro and infrastructure, expressways. They brought a Yogi ji and a cow and a gober governance model. But let me walk from that point and say this. When I visited a European Commission, right, I saw United in Diversity as their logo. And I realized that in India, we write from every school, it was written, Anekta mein ekta, Hind ki visheshta. So, unity and diversity has been our logo. India will shine when we take this logo and transform it into our social purpose and economic purpose. And that is where the debates that this government pushes on people,
that are you more Hindu than the next guy, are you more national than the next guy, that creates hurdles in the path of progress. And it is these hurdles that represent themselves in Cow Vigilante or Yogi Raj and so on. So with this propaganda, India cannot progress, no matter who is giving what rating to us.
Okay, final thought from you.
See, Vikram, there are problems for India. There is hunger, there is malnutrition, there is illiteracy problems. These are all there, but we have not brought them. What I am talking is, today India is beginning to stand up as a superpower, economic superpower. And since Narendra Modi came to power, we have gone up in 45 points, on ease of doing business. It is not 30 actually, in the last 3 years, it has been consistently going up. On investment also, India is becoming a most desired destination, and new startups are coming up. India is looking up as an economic superpower, and that is my point. And there is hope for the country, and it is this hope on that we have to build on. And there is aspiration among the youngsters, and this aspiration is being realized by a very, very systematic kind of economic development, infrastructure development, and also tourism development.
All right. Well, on that particular note, I'm afraid we're going to have to call a pause to this episode of The Big Fight. Thank you so much for having joined us. And let's see which way. Hopefully, we will have lots and lots of good news to keep reporting. That's always a good direction. But at the end of the day, along with the good news, if there are certain issues and problems that have to be done there, I guess in a democracy, it is the responsibility to also turn your attention to them, if for nothing else, than to try and fix it. Watching The Big Fight. We'll be back next week. Bye for now.